Hey, Rebels, welcome to Rebel Soul Health Radio. I'm your host, Meg Pearson. This podcast is your go-to spot for unfiltered conversations, a fresh take on wellness, and tools to help you build your own kick-ass life, say screw you to societal norms, and find true joy in the chaos. Whether you're into breathwork, undieting, or you're just here for the Rebel vibes, this is your space. My goal is for you to listen, laugh, and leave thinking, why the hell didn't anyone tell me this before? I'm an ex-television director turned modern-day hippie mom, and yeah, I've got some privilege to unpack. As a straight white woman, my lens has undoubtedly shaped my experiences. But here's the deal. I'm all about making wellness accessible to everyone. And if I ever say anything harmful, I'm always open to doing better, and I honestly welcome your feedback. With that, let's get to it, Rebels. This podcast provides general information and discussion about natural medicine, health, spirituality, and may contain discussions about eating disorders that could be triggering. If you or someone you know is sensitive to such content, we recommend approaching with care and prioritizing your mental health. The content here should not be taken as medical advice and is for informational purposes only. And because each person is so unique, please consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions. Welcome to this week's episode of Rebel Soul Health Radio. I am your host, Meg Pearson, and I am suffering with a little bit of a cold. If you notice, my voice sounds a little bit more sexy than usual. And just apologies in advance if I have some coughing fits or anything like that. So today we are going to be diving in briefly to the world of eating habits, restriction, and those moments when it feels like your relationship with food is anything but chill. But first, I want to just call attention to the fact that February 1st to February 7th is Eating Disorder Awareness Week here in Canada. And it's a crucial time when organizations across Canada unite to educate the public about eating disorders, break stereotypes, and provide support. This year's campaign, Breaking Barriers, Facilitating Futures, is focusing on underrecognized barriers people face when accessing care for eating disorders. The messages that are essential for this week to get across to the world and make more public awareness about are the impact of food insecurity on mental health, the interconnection of trauma and eating disorders, and the importance of gender-affirming care in person-centered approaches. And this week, February 1st, February 7th, every year, Eating Disorder Awareness Week feels so important to me on a personal level. If you're listening, you probably know my history. I battled bulimia for nearly 20 years. I was hospitalized when I was 30 for having swallowed a spatula, trying to make myself throw up. And so I know firsthand the impact that having an eating disorder has on your life, your ability to show up and be present and take care of yourself, take care of others, have close relationships. I know, I've been there. And so I just feel so in alignment with the work that I'm doing now, that I've made prominent in my business and in my messaging to help one person at a time dismantle the claws of diet culture, because diet culture is clearly having an impact on our young people. A recent study showed that 1 out of 10 adolescents have taken to some sort of purging activity, whether it's through use of laxatives or other, and it's just heartbreaking to me. Heartbreaking to me, especially as the mother of a young girl, bring her up into this world. And so any way that I can help get the word out there about the lack of understanding still that exists in the world around eating disorders. There's still such a huge misunderstanding. I know when I was diagnosed in the 90s, the care that was available to me at the time in small rural Ontario was not the type of care that is more widely available now, and B, the type of care that's proven to be very effective for that matter. And to that end, I have been Oh, well, you're just catching me off the on the tail end of a at the time of recording, a 3-day immersion with an organization called Eat, Pray, Love, Eat, Breathe, Thrive. An organization called Eat, Breathe, Thrive, which is their focus is on yoga for eating disorder recovery, and they are an incredible resource. I am hoping to move through their facilitator track to start offering in the community here in Canada, where I live, a 7-week yoga for eating disorder recovery program. But it's also they have free resources for anyone that is suffering with an eating disorder, and they also do a lot of prevention work. And so I'm stoked to be connected to and hopefully very soon be working with that organization. And I tell you, all of this feels like it is exactly where I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to be doing. And so this Eating Disorder Awareness Week, I plan to be hosting some events both inside my private circles as well as doing some public stuff to just help with the awareness side. Because eating disorders, unfortunately, still do have a lot of stigma around them. And God, you would be surprised, I'm sure, how many people in your life are closely affected by this terrifying mental illness. And if you didn't know, eating disorders have the highest mortality rate of any mental illness. So this is a conversation that needs to be had and shouted from the rooftops far and wide. Okay, so back to this week's episode. We are talking about the binge restrict cycle and something called the rebound effect, which people I hear talking about it. I've had people asking me about it. And it's really just this whole idea that if you are finding yourself compulsively eating, emotionally eating, losing your sense of control over food or binging, it typically can be traced back to a period of restriction. Now, why any of us individually find ourselves doing this yo-yo dieting scenario is highly personalized, right? So I'm just going to be giving an overarching explanation for why some of us find not only are we eating more when we decide to ditch a diet or give up on a diet, but why we might feel almost compulsive in our eating. Now, to truly understand anyone that struggles with this perceived loss of control around food, we really need to explore their histories. And this is so much of what the work that I do inside my programs and my coaching is about. Inside my rebel process, the rebel against diet culture process, the first step, the R in rebel, stands for root causes and reprogramming. So we have to go back and we have to find the root causes. We need to find the beliefs. We need to find the history, the stories, the systems that have affected us, and then realize why and how we think about food, and then look at the emotions, our actions, and results, and go back and reframe all of that stuff, right? So some people that experience compulsive style eating experience some sort of childhood food insecurity, which can lead to an adulthood of stockpiling foods. Others have grown up in environments where certain foods were banned or they were subjected to restrictive diets as children, which can result in secret eating. And that's something that can carry on into adulthood. And this is actually something that's really, really common. And I've seen in a lot of people I've worked with. For some people, food became a coping mechanism in childhood to fill voids left by deprivation of fundamental needs like love and safety. So all of this non-consensual dieting, neglect, trauma, all of these experiences create scars, they create grooves, and profoundly impact our relationships with food and our body in adulthood. The ramifications are tangible, from emotional struggles to serious eating and mental health issues. So the important thing to know is that restricting food, whether it's voluntarily or involuntarily, and by voluntary I mean, through diets, et cetera, it triggers mental, emotional, and behavioral changes. And this heightened preoccupation we have with food, the emotional reactivity that goes along with it, and this tendency towards binge eating, once restriction is lifted, it can usually always tie back to something from our history. So as we navigate recovery self-compassion becomes the North Star, if you will. Self-compassion becomes the most important piece to the puzzle in healing. And for anyone that has, you know, a history of food insecurity or childhood neglect, understanding and becoming aware when your urge to overeat, when it arises in you, that is key, because that can help you start to identify things from your past that might need some attention with support from whether it's a counselor, a therapist, etc. For voluntary restrictions, so those of us that are just chronic dieters, I think this is how and why embracing the idea of intuitive eating and its 10 principles becomes a pathway to real and lasting, genuine food freedom. And to wrap up this episode, let's just acknowledge the complexity of this restrict binge cycle and the transformative power of understanding its origins. Breaking free from these patterns is a journey of compassion, self-discovery, and forging a healthier relationship with food. So if you think that this episode could help someone you know, please share it. Please share the podcast, rate, review, all of that good stuff. And remember, you're not alone and that we're all in this together. And if you want to chat, reach out to me on Instagram at Coach Meg Pearson. Until then, may your journey towards healing be filled with compassion, self-discovery, and a whole lot of badassery. Ciao for now.
Thanks so much for listening, my rebel soul. Please, if you would be so kind, I would be grateful if you could share, subscribe, rate, and review the show. Please follow the show over on Instagram at Rebel Soul Health Radio and share what you thought about this week's episode. Don't forget to tag us. For more information on today's show, please head over to my website at meganpearson.ca. Until next time, rebels.